welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that gives you insights and resources in how to live a more courageous life. We look to assist you on your hero's journey in any way that we can. Truth is our compass, humanity, our tribe. Welcome and let's get started. Hello, Base Campers. I hope you're all doing well. Man, our 300th episode. Wow, it's hard to believe we're starting to come into the home stretch of Season 7 and our 300th episode, and it has been an absolute honor to be your captain on this journey through all sorts of twists and turns humanity has faced these past years. I have no intention of quitting anytime soon. I figure as long as there are some courageous souls out there that find this broadcast truthful or uplifting or funny or helpful in any way, then it is my sacred duty to keep writing and keep interviewing great guests. A little preview of things to come. Next week, I think I'm doing a Firestarter solo episode, and then we will go on a sabbatical for the holidays in late November for a few weeks for a creative recharge. We do this every single year. And I'm retiring from my longtime Steady Eddie gig at the Washington Athletic Club. Yep, I'm envisioning my next chapters of my hero's journey, and I want to write more, explore some different directions in alternative health, and even some entrepreneurial opportunities in the Bitcoin space. I'll keep you all posted. I couldn't have asked for a better guest for episode 300. I hope to come on to her show and have her back here in season 8. We range around all sorts of topics that I love. Rewiring neural pathways, the hero's journey, getting out of your comfort zone, the cultural hypnosis of COVID, and how Bitcoin is a magnet for high vibration individuals. Go make yourself a cup of tea and join us by the fire. And thanks for listening to Base Camp for Men as we set sail for another 100 episodes. Enjoy the interview. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. There's something for everyone, Base Campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is Heather Keys. Heather is a Canadian, a mother, a hypnotherapist and podcaster, and a Bitcoiner. Here is my interview with Heather Keys. All right, I'm here with Heather Keys, hypnotherapist, Bitcoiner, and podcaster, Heather Keys. Heather, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It is great to have you on the show.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You know, we did a podcast. I did an episode with a good friend of yours, back in with Katie Webster, honoring the soul's journey, back in episode 263, and she was kind enough to connect us, and then we had a short conversation and hit it off like gangbusters the other day. So I'm so excited to have you on. And this is going to be episode 300. So the intro will be about that. I'm just really excited to have such a great guest. No pressure, of course. But I was eyeing 300 for a long time. And here we are, and no signs of stopping. So I'm just super excited to have you on to talk about hypnotherapy, Bitcoin. But before we really get rolling, just give our listeners just a sense of your background, where you're from, where you reside, what kinds of things you do for work right now, and anything else you'd like us to know about.
Great. Well, congrats on 300.
Thank you. Yes.
Thanks. That's amazing. And thank you, Katie. This has been a great connection. And absolutely, I'd love to share a bit. I am Heather Keys, also known as Hypno Heather. I'm from Canada. I live in Calgary. I've been working as a hypnotherapist, coach, speaker since 2011, done over 8,000 hypnosis sessions, trained hypnotherapists, and eventually transitioned my entire practice fully online. So even though I live in Canada, I get to go around and speak and do Bitcoin stuff and still work from my laptop.
That's awesome.
I just know whenever I say hypnotherapy, you know, I like to just make a caveat of how, like, I'm not helping people just relax or reprogram. I help them rewire deeply held subconscious patterns and reconnect with their superconscious or soul wisdom to break free from cultural hypnosis and generational conditioning.
I love it. I love it. We're going to get into all that. I just want to say as a sidebar, if I were to live in Canada, and I'm a proud American, if I were to live in Canada, Alberta is the only place for me, man. There is no other province I'm living in. I don't care how great the cities are. That's the place where I feel like there's a sovereignty and people that value freedom, some of my same core values. That would be the community me, right?
Oh, it, you know it. I moved here 3 years ago. Best decision ever made. Yeah. Don't plan on leaving. It is the only place to live in Canada, in my opinion.
I hear you, sister. I hear you. You know, so on the topic, you kind of got a nice intro into hypnotherapy. I've been in alternative health and consciousness and personal growth really my whole life, you know. So it's I feel like it's been my duty, no matter which kinds of work I was doing, to really explore what was out there, both for myself and for any of the communities I was serving. And hypnotherapy, I feel like it's misunderstood a little bit, and I feel like it's underutilized. You don't hear that many people talk about it. And I think the consensus consciousness, if I were to channel, you know, normie consciousness, or even people that are into personal growth and ask them about hypnotherapy, I have a feeling you'd hear kind of something like, oh yeah, you know, you could use that if you wanted to quit smoking, right? Like quitting smoking, or, you know, maybe you could use it to rewire some neural pathways around weight loss, or, you know, like there's this kind of thing. And my sense is, I don't know if people really understand it. And we know from lots of thought leaders and the kind of like the quantum thinking, quantum consciousness movement, that rewiring, and like the work of Dr. Joe Dispenza, rewiring your neural pathways is a super powerful thing to do. And it's totally doable. We've kind of been wired that it's really hard to change, but I wanted to give you a chance. Like, what would be some ways that people might choose to work with you or another hypnotherapist that really understands this? Like, what are some things that people maybe would love to change that they're not even considering doing it because they think, oh, hypnotherapy, yeah, that was really popular back in the 80s when people were trying to quit smoking, and which I feel like is a really outdated sort of filter to see hypnotherapies through. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. That's the kind of conversation I have all the time, because that's people's first thought, like quitting smoking or weight loss. Mm-hmm. And I mean, what we're really talking about is two things. One, which is the way in which hypnosis is kept from the mainstream in terms of a healing modality, because it does offer someone the opportunity to become very free from being controlled.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, hypnosis is a state of trance where people can go into to find the true cause of their problem, but also get the wisdom from themselves about what they are needing. And at end of the day, it's like, if we're outsourcing our authority to another system or another person, or even our own limiting beliefs, then we're not really transforming or even going in the direction of life that we feel called to. So, you know, when we think about hypnosis as a modality instead of just as a state, we're looking at a way for people to basically change anything. Mm. Like that whole rewiring, or even that whole belief that rewiring is hard, is a belief that you could let go of in hypnosis instantly.
Yeah, beautiful.
Right? Because like if someone came to me and said, like, anytime someone comes and says, this is hard, I'm like, oh, I'll just note that they have like a belief in that. So then it probably has to be hard.
Right.
You know, so that would be like a very simple way of like an identity transition. But I think what's missing overall in the understanding of hypnotherapy and bringing it into the modern era is about the understanding that this is transformational. Like, this takes people from the dark to the light. Like, this is where, you know, it's not a logical coping mechanism. It's an upgrade from the inside out.
That's beautiful. You know, can people address my sense, and I'm speaking for myself here as well. My sense is that we all kind of, we have this hero's journey where we have to address some of our past shadow and trauma. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, I'm a long time recovering alcoholic. Like, I haven't drank in 12 and a half years. I have really addictive tendencies that show themselves in all sorts of ways. So there's something there in my core that it's kind of a core wound. And maybe you could say, like, somebody else might have like procrastination, for instance, where they're just like, why do I can never seem to get out of my own way? Why am I always self-sabotaging? Or why are all my relationships always turn out the same, for instance, right? Like, there's, I think people are frustrated by what's in their past. Mm-hmm. Does it help with stuff like that? Because I think for people, let's say addiction, because let's be honest, mm-hmm. like almost everybody can raise their hands saying, are you an addict? Because we all have our phones in our faces constantly, for instance, right? And then, it doesn't matter. Like, it's just like, tell somebody, you know, give up your coffee. Nah, you know, rock you, you know, it's like, so we all have our preferential dopamine, self-soothing things to help us through the edges of boredom, loneliness, feelings of unworthiness, like all the things we want to avoid. So mm-hmm. we get these ways of coping, but then the coping mechanisms work against us ultimately, because it's like we can't get out of our own way because we keep having the same reactive stuff. Like, can hypnotherapy kind of get into the roots of things where, you know, I know it, like something like AA, they really do their best to do that. And a lot of people swear by it. But I think hypnotherapy could be like, could be really more, a lot more elegant to some of these things, because it's so, it's so personal. It's just you
absolutely
and the hypnotherapist. So it's like you can work really to mine what is underneath all of it and then what's been self-sabotaging you, basically. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And yeah. Procrastination and self-sabotage is something that I have worked with and spoke about for years, because that's when you can really see, right, like, I'm doing these things that aren't good for me that I don't even want to do. Mm-hmm. And why? And why does it feel so much more natural to come back to those things and almost be more comfortable in those things? And that is the biggest use case for hypnotherapy, in my opinion, because it allows us to sit in our discomfort in a relaxing way. And what happens is then the symptoms become the solution. And so when the symptoms are the solution and we have the relaxation of the body, relaxation of the mind to be able to feel into something and not be triggered to have those automatic coping mechanisms or have those automatic ways that we deal with discomfort, not only can we process it somatically and allow the energy of the feeling to release, but we can also get the wisdom from it. We can also get the wisdom from the feeling and go, oh, right, this was for me to see. This was for me to feel through. This is for me to bring this shadow part of myself to the light. And then, of course, the effects are endless. They can remove money blocks, trauma, spiritual disconnection, autoimmune patterns or chronic symptoms, creative stagnation, even emotional reactivity around Bitcoin volatility.
Yeah, that's great. That's I remember this big aha moment. I still kind of have the same aha around working with some of the stuff that's in the shadow, you know. And I just remember seeing, you know, as I was working through addiction, and rather than it be this monster that was trying to devour my life, I started to it shifted into something. And to your point, it came out of the internal wisdom and connecting to a source for me that had great wisdom about it. And I started to see this sort of part of me that was the addict was this really young part of me, this like part that was scared, the part that needed self-soothing, almost like a little boy in me that it did not know how to cope. And it didn't. And I was condemning it. I was fighting with it rather than really listening to what it was saying underneath, that it was whispering to me, but I was too stubborn, or I just wasn't, my antenna wasn't resonating with that subtle of a signal until I stopped and said, I have to address this. And then it became the dragon that was my addiction, became this little, my own little boy that was just like trying to cope with life And then that's how it learned how to do it, was to drink and to keep things, try to keep a buffer between me and all the raw feelings that were trying to be heard. You know what I mean? So,
Ooh, that's very wise and great for you for doing that work and listening, because it's true. We do fall into these patterns, and likely they, I would say all the time, helped us to survive. You know, they were needed. Like, it got us to here. It's just that it's not needed now.
Right, right. Well, what about Heather? What about cultural hypnosis? Because I wanted to let you touch on that a bit. From my vantage point, we saw massive cultural hypnosis during COVID and the aftermath of COVID. So much so that I still see in Seattle, which is a very, you know, blue, very, very progressive area of the United States, I still see lots of people wearing masks walking around, and I'm like, wow, like there's, you would rather do that than breathe fresh air. And you're like 24 years old. Like, why are you, you know, you're in the woods, you know, like, why don't you breathe some fresh air? And I see that, you know, maybe they were had a predisposition for mental illness or whatever, but I see the aftermath of what I saw as a mass effort to hypnotize everybody based on some kind of, you know, I don't know about the quote unquote science that you were telling everybody to swallow, but it wasn't open to questioning. It wasn't open to any kind of, like, you know, well, can we talk about it? No, we can't talk about it. This is what you need to know, and we're going to hammer it out and create this kind of mass formation, delusional state that I saw as hypnosis, because people were they weren't behaving in ways that I knew them to behave, like out of common sense and common decency for people, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, talk about the morality, you know, talk about being hypnotized by the culture.
Yeah.
Talk about being hypnotized by fear. This is one of the most important conversations we can be having right now. Because it really does come down to recognizing when you're in hypnosis, and it runs deep, you know, in our family, schools, health systems, which are really sick systems, institutions, government, media, you know, and ultimately we've all been culturally hypnotized in some way to, you know, be for the people and to conform and to not question in subtle and not so subtle ways.
Yep.
I mean, whether it's that our own body is flawed and like we need some sort of medical intervention to be well, that money is scarce, even that the truth is whatever the authority says, or that healing comes from a pill instead of our own power and authority. And, you know, I think it became very obvious to more people during COVID because it was just so blatantly in our face.
Yeah.
And that's why even my corporation is called Unhypnotized Ventures, Inc.
I love it.
Because everything we're doing over here is to really help people not be hypnotized to do better or be better, but to be unhypnotized.
Yeah.
To realize, like, if you think that you have to be so much different than you are, or something is wrong with you, or something is wrong with your neighbor, ultimately it's going to create a sense of urgency, a sense of fear, a sense of really coming outside of yourself, and instead of remembering who we actually are underneath all that programming.
That's great. That's really powerful, Heather. You know, I wanted to split this episode a little bit, talk about hypnosis, but I want to talk about Bitcoin because I love talking about Bitcoin. It's one of my favorite topics. It's hard for me. I feel like I could talk about it every episode, but my list—it's not a Bitcoin show. So, you know, I gotta spread it out. My father listens to this, and he's like, you know, I love all the episodes. You know, Bitcoin. You know, so I want to be respectful that it's not for everybody. I feel like it is for everybody, actually, but people are where they're at, and I just wanted to give you—we got a couple of questions around this, but I guess just give us a little bit of, like, when did it first start going, this looks interesting, what is this, like, how, Give us a little bit of a sense of like where you first learned about Bitcoin. Was it a person? Was it Saylor videos? Was it Breedlove? Was it books? Like how did you first? And then, did that really lead to like clicking a lot, learning a lot? I know it did for me. I was fortunate in that it was during COVID, and so everything in Seattle was shut down. They were basically saying, stay home until this passes and we'll let you know. So we're like, okay, we can't really do that much. And Bitcoin had caught my eye. The memes that were happening that were flying around, and then Saylor's videos. And then I'm like, what is this? And so I was just like, I was obsessed, and I just kept clicking and learning. I'm still clicking and learning, but that was quite a few years back, and I just wanted to get you a chance to tell us about, how it all kind of unfolded for you.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I went to a networking thing the other night and people wanted to talk about hypnosis and I just wanted to talk about Bitcoin. It's one of my favorite topics too. And I heard about Bitcoin actually a really long time ago, like from a friend who'd actually wrote a Bitcoin book. This is probably 2016. And I sort of
God.
looked at it and was just like, that's kind of cool, but never really got it. And then I knew about it. I'd heard it about it more sort of once some of my friends were day traders. And I had a bunch of clients who were day traders at one point because there's just so much emotion involved in that. And then they make bad decisions. And it's like one way to really learn to listen to your intuition. And I think I'd bought in some then, but I still didn't understand the ethos of Bitcoin. Like I traded it for a crypto project and it really synchronistic though. And I truly believe that people find Bitcoin in a very divine synchronistic way often. Like I went to the BTM in my city and I was sort of like, how do I even use this? What I need a wallet? What's this all about? And then like I met Dale, who owns QuickBit, like he was the owner of the machine. And I was like, oh, great, I need help to buy Bitcoin. And he was like, oh, great, I need a hypnotist. I was
That's
like,
awesome.
perfect. Yeah. So then he had like officially orange-pilled me. And then also, when I moved to Calgary, he invited me to the rodeo. And that was probably 3 years ago now. And that's when I really started to understand what Bitcoin is in a larger sense of like rewarding sovereignty, patience. And that's when I also really woke up to how broken the system was. Like I was always against sort of allopathic medicine of just treating symptoms. I'd already healed my own conditions, but in 2020, during all this madness, I woke up even more like so many to especially the fiat system and how much this was a problem, like how much all these problems that I already saw with these systems at the root of it was the money.
The broken money.
Yeah, the broken money. And then you know how it is. I never went back. It's just learning and learning. And plus, for me, it already aligned. Like a lot of people I know found Bitcoin and then sort of found spirituality and God. Whereas for me, I already found that. I already awakened to myself, my purpose, my life's purpose, my work, my soul's purpose, And so for me, it was just, wow, now I'm talking to all these people on like similar integrities and desires, and not only that, that want to create a better future.
It's intoxicating having Bitcoin friends both online and in person. I just that the conversations are so lively, they're so uplifting, they're so opposite of the fiat mindset and conversations are like, I'm just trying to get to, like 5 more years at Amazon, whatever it is. It's like it's just so like on the
Oh,
fiat
yeah.
hamster wheel, it's just like, I'm hoping the stock market holds. I'm just like, God, I just hear the fatigue,
Oh,
and
when I was dating and a guy would like message me and say, oh, tomorrow's Monday, or oh, it's Monday, blah, Monday, I would just be like, okay, no, sorry. Like,
you're on a
we're not
you're on a
going further than this.
totally. And I do feel like, to your point, I feel like Bitcoin is divinely offered. Like, I thank God all the time that the gift of Bitcoin was something that was presented to me, and my mind had been presented in a way that it was open to sort of try to understand it and get excited about it and have conversations. But it's great that you had that one mentor. I think it's really important for new Bitcoiners. It's great to have an actual human to help them through. I helped a good friend of mine set up his Trezor. He had quite a few sats out on Coinbase. And I'm like, that's too many sats to trust Coinbase with. That's not the way we do things. And he's like, okay, so teach me about self-custody. Talk to me. I go, I'll come over to your place. I'll bring the Trezor and I'll set it up. We'll set up your vault. And he was so excited and so appreciative. And I felt so in service to a good friend who's like, I want to vault this stuff, right? And I'm like, yes, you do, you know? Yes. And I don't know. It just, we were both so excited. I wanted to ask you, like, from a hypnotherapist lens, how does Bitcoin help free people, free the mind from fiat? I mean, it shatters certain assumptions about your life and about money and all that. So how do you see that as a hypnotherapist? How do you see Bitcoin as something that helps free people's minds, free them from the matrix, as they say?
Ooh, yes, absolutely. I mean, Bitcoin breaks the trance. Like, it frees us from the mental shackles of like debt slavery, scarcity thinking, outsourced authority. But I will say that, like, any freedom that we experience, especially from the inside out, it first comes with becoming more comfortable with seeing the truth. Because the truth is hard. It's hard to see the truth. That's why sometimes it's easier to just go along with the culture. Yeah. And, you know, having to first see how everything you thought was true isn't, or how, like, and especially maybe you did all this education and you learned things that now you have to, like, unhypnotize yourself. So I think first and foremost, freedom comes from just being able to clearly look at what is happening, and then we can start to look at the ways that maybe even our own lives, relationships, and businesses were built on fraudulent foundations that we didn't choose.
Right.
You know, they were passed down to us. It seemed like the way to do it. Even for me, one of my biggest shifts with Bitcoin was that I did it all. Like, I had a six-figure hypnotherapy practice. I'm a single mom. I worked to get to the next level. And then literally I just, like, paid so much in tax that I looked back and thought I could have spent more time with my son and worked less and tried less hard.
Yeah.
And then really realizing how, like, my money was depreciating. So anything I had built or saved, it was depreciating. And I think, like, when we come to being free and stepping back and going, okay, so how do we sort of build a new foundation that is built on sustainability, that is built on, like, life and relationships and having that time to cook and grow our future generations and these types of things, to live in integrity.
Absolutely. You know, you said something there that was an aha for me, and I sometimes forget it, when you said that like, being open to the truth is challenging. I think I have minimized that. I've been a truther for a long time. I've been down, you know, not every rabbit hole, but I've been down all the major ones, including many of the minor tributaries, like, so that I can speak with some wisdom about what's going on to humanity and what's happened to humanity, what our history is and all that. But I feel like I have been impatient with people that have been resistant to the truth, whether that was COVID truth, truth about the medicines, the medical system that you've been speaking about. I'm totally, you know, yes on all that. That's absolutely accurate and true. But when you were saying that, I had a moment where I can be more compassionate with people that have been resistant to the truth, because the truth, I imagine, for the uninitiated, it looks scary. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you get this sense of, like, I don't want to look behind that curtain. It's like, I know. And, you know, I take for granted that I've been pulling curtains back my whole adult life. And so me and my friends are really accustomed, and we have a language, and for the uninitiated, no judgment, no talk, no calling you a muggle or a normie. I'll stop doing that now, you know, like, because I understand, because each person has their hero's journey. Maybe somebody has a glimpse of the truth towards the end that is the big light bulb that lights up their soul's journey beyond this life. Like, it's not my place to say when people wake up. And I've been a little guilty of shit talking and poking the people mm-hmm. that I'm like, you're not getting this. What part of this, you know, as you line up mm-hmm. another vaccine with all the evidence of the injuries and the deaths, everything's going, how are you not getting this? You know, there's a part of me that's like, you're a muggle. We don't operate under the same frequency, but I realize too, that that's a little, I don't know. I'm standing on my high horse.
Yeah.
I'm not being humble. And just realized when you said that, you know, like, the truth is hard, and I don't often give people the benefit of that. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's just a great awareness. I think one thing we really do need in the world more right now is compassion and understanding.
Yes.
And I guess for me, it comes naturally just from working with so many people in such an intimate way, plus with myself intimately, and really looking at, you know, what is ego? And what am I struggling with? And that's something that I love to talk about and talk about a lot, because who knows what that soul came to Earth to do? Like, maybe that's exactly what they came to do, to be the contrast,
yep.
to be that, so we can have this higher frequency, so we can come to the light, so we can see those parts in ourselves, right? You know, these things can mirror. And when we're really looking at like freedom and like a free humanity, we have to understand, like, everyone plays a role mm-hmm. and people play roles for us too. Like, I get that, where we can't understand, like, why people can't see. I mean, for me, I was awakened from a very young age. I was super into Adbusters and,
oh, like, yeah, I remember them. They were things, great.
You know, they were awesome.
They,
like,
were.
Buy Nothing Day, Turn Off yeah. Your TV Week. Like, they were based AF.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so I was like that a long time ago. I mean, 16 years ago, I didn't vaccinate my son, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I was always there too. But I think what you said is really important. And while I still will use the word normie sometimes.
I know.
Because it's just a way to describe, like, people that aren't quite, like, seeing the reality.
Yep.
You know, yeah. they're really in the normal culture. Because if you are just in the culture of the norm, you do tend to buy into what you're being told is the best thing for you.
Exactly. Exactly. That is my beef with it.
Well, I mean, that is what is frustrating, because if you guys would just wake up, we could already be further ahead. But that's not really true, right?
No, it's not. Yeah, it's so good. You know, we talk. Let's see. You had written how Bitcoin could supercharge your dating life. I thought that was really funny. Like, I don't hear that very often. You hear Bitcoin as a store of value, Bitcoin as freedom technology, you know, incorruptible blockchain, and all these different things, even soft war, you know, it's, you know, you hear all these different kinds of things about Bitcoin, but not that it could supercharge your dating life. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about that, because I just thought that was a whimsical kind of fun topic to hit. Do you use it as a filter? Like, if they're just not, you know, how are you using Bitcoin as a way to kind of supercharge your dating life, let's say?
Well, it's really with so many people. Like, season two of my podcast was themed Bitcoin dating in a fiat world.
Yeah.
And then I did a panel at the Bitcoin Rodeo about Bitcoin dating.
Yeah.
And so it's actually really about the conversation of dating in general, especially in 2025, but then how Bitcoin can supercharge it. So it's in two ways, because first of all, Bitcoin is an energy. It's a frequency.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe the future of healing and life is all about frequency, and not pharmaceutical, you know, and not anything else. It's frequency based. Life is frequency based. So first and foremost, it's like a magnet for people on a similar frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't even mean that they have to be Bitcoiners. It's more about understanding, like we've been talking about, like, Bitcoin will just wake you the F up.
Yep.
It's going to make you more clear. It's going to make you more responsible for your own reactions and actions and choices that you make. So it automatically just makes you a magnet for higher quality relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other side of it, the ethos and the, you know, what we could think of as the foundation of Bitcoin, which is rooted in truth and sovereignty and proof of work, it really activates anything that isn't in alignment like that. So it's going to make it real, real clear. So sometimes it might just attract you to someone that is your soulmate, you're meant to do life with and stay together forever. But it also could attract a partner who like reflects your unhealed wounds or parts of yourself that are out of integrity. You know, so it could match your frequency because you've done the inner work. And even for me, I found like it would match my frequency because I've done the inner work, but then also show me parts of myself and ways that I could become less triggered, ways that I could become more whole, more grounded, more listening to my body, my intuition. So it becomes a tool for evolution, whether you end up staying together with that Bitcoin soulmate or not.
Got it. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I wanted to get your thoughts on is that for me, Bitcoin has changed in subtle and not so subtle ways. Like I feel like it has simplified my life. It's given me more time. It's changed priorities in a way where I just feel like I can focus on the things I really want to. I don't feel as harried. When I was doing the fiat thing, I was like trying to save a big enough number so that I could relax in retirement. And Bitcoin has allowed me to see that I don't need to just sit and I don't need to try to get someplace to have the life that I want. It's already right here. And as an entrepreneur, one of the things I talked to Pete Noble about this a couple episodes ago. One of the things I'm super excited about for entrepreneurs to understand is you can create any sort of kind of business that you want. It could be a business like yours. It could be, you know, a health food store, let's say. And if you build it so that people can pay in Bitcoin, you don't have to take all your payments in Bitcoin. But if you give people a chance to pay you in Bitcoin, you're going to be killing it. Like if people buy, you know, $150 worth of goods and they pay in sats, that's like $1,500 to your future self, like 8-10 years from now, maybe not even that much. And it's like all of a sudden, this kind of mindset that I see in Seattle, which is like, if I'm not making, you know, $250,000, I can't cut the mustard, becomes I can create these flows, be creative about it and be grateful because my main mode of thinking and operating is in this God-given, divinely inspired asset, this thing that is here to help us get out of the fiat misery that we've all been suffering in. Whether you think you're suffering it in it or not, we have all been under this system that's just like, oh God, you know, this is just hard, you know, sledding up this hill of a monetary system that is losing purchasing power rapidly. So that gives you a lot. It's done wonders to my peace of mind, I guess, is the takeaway to that last riff for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's just been no surprise that everyone's hormones are out of whack.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody has enough time and they can't keep up. And it's not any surprise. Yeah. When we really start to understand how this system is literally draining our resources financially, personally, and it costs so much more money to be healthy than to just live in the culture.
Yep.
And there is so many powerful concepts in Bitcoin, like you said, you know, and it sounds like you've really adapted a low time preference.
I do my best, even though I'm kind of hyper, as you can tell. I'm kind of a fast talker. But I never really did succumb to the trader mentality, for instance, in the markets. Like I'm like a buy and hold. I've always been kind of like time's your friend if you align your principles with your actions. Things will come to you. Good things will come to you. So I think maybe I was primed for the low time preference ethos of Bitcoin, which says, don't buy, sell, don't trade, just stack and hold and be humble.
Yeah, I love that. That's one of my favorite concepts. Like when Katie and I had a women's Bitcoin breakfast at the Bitcoin Rodeo this summer, we made the topic low time preference because we felt it deeply resonates with women and moms and how easily they can feel that burnout of like go, 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 do, do, do. And, low time preference is about slowing down and not rushing the process. I know in my own work and my business, like I have built it based on like my intuition and my access to creativity that we all have. And it's always worked. But even I had to learn how to surrender and how to really trust the process.
Yeah,
And I think
absolutely. Yep.
Bitcoin just fuels that. 'Cause I'm also like, I'm energetic. I love creating shit. Like there's so much I want to do.
Yeah.
I'm always writing. I'm always making new connections. I'm always seeing what we could bring into the world. And I think when you're building, like I was thinking about this before we came on to record and how when we're building new foundations, like learning to do new things, it's really slow because we're not good at it, right? Like it's easy to fall into like say the scrolling or the addictions or the coping mechanisms because they're hardwired in. That's just easy. It's like easy to eat the same. It's easy to do your routine the same. And the reason why it's maybe seen as hard to create new patterns is actually more that it's slow, that you need more time. Like I did a lot of work with people on their morning routines, like as a hypnotist, And I always come back to thinking about how, right, it's actually not that it's hard to do. It's that you need at least to take a morning and go through what you would want to do and just take as long as it would take. It won't always take that long, but when you're building new foundations in your health, your wealth, your relationships, your business, the way you live, your lifestyle, you have to be patient, because it does take time to build a new foundation. It does take time. It actually takes time even to let go of the old one sometimes.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, there's a lot of wisdom in that. And from somebody that's worked through transformation myself, that I can attest, you almost have to train yourself to love the process of transformation, that the soul wants to go at the soul's pace, which is a slower pace. And to honor that it's like some of the old patterns have served you well up to that chapter of your journey, but then now it's requiring a new part of yourself to be activated or something to be let go of. We're not naturally great at letting go. I think it's something that we have to learn over and over in different
Same.
ways. And there's things that we really don't want to let go.
Yeah.
I'm speaking for myself as well. So, but this has been great. I want to give you a chance to talk about, you've got Unhypnotized, your podcast. So, I'd love to hear about what you guys are doing there, what kind of topics you're addressing there. And then where can listeners find you and your work? Because I have a feeling this conversation has maybe sparked some people to say, hey, I'm ready for the next chapters of my hero's journey. And I've been stuck in this for a while. Maybe I'm a procrastinator. I've got this pattern. Maybe I've got this victim pattern, or just something in this conversation has maybe woken some of our listeners up to the point where, like, God, I could work with this woman and maybe accelerate what's happening, not to instantly create results, but to get the process started in a real way. Because if sometimes if we're just working on it on our own, we do need a mentor. We do need that person to help guide us into the parts that we just are having a hard time accessing. And we know it. Deep down, we know. Like when I was going through myself, I knew I needed a mentor. I knew I needed something, somebody else to help me with the inputs that I was struggling with. So, yeah, just tell us a little bit about that. Tell us a little about the podcast and then also where people can find you.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's actually one of the things I see the most is that people are struggling on their own rather than having a guide, someone that's been through that or could help you through that or both. And I love how you speak of the hero's journey regularly. I look at that. I've developed my own map of that, talking about the way to is through, because part of the hero's journey is to go through the dark, is to go through the quest to get to the other side, so to speak. And it is so fun. Like, you're right, training yourself to just be excited for transformation. You know, I constantly have to tell people, like, just kind of apologize. Like, I'm just sorry, I'm not moving fast enough. Like, I process. I really love the process of change. And so I talk about that on the Unhypnotized podcast, and it is a Bitcoin podcast, but it's focused on health, wealth, spirituality, consciousness, and Bitcoin. And then, like I said, season two, I'm wrapping up soon, which is about dating and relationships. And then season three is returning to those core themes of truth and freedom, and a lot about health, because I've been diving into just like the fraudulent foundations of psychology and how that's led us to problems in how we treat humans and their conditions. And then also that's leading to the book that I'm writing, which is about that and about how we can bring hypnotherapy and these types of modalities into the future.
Love it.
And so the heart of Unhypnotized is the heart of my work, which is like, people don't need to be hypnotized into better habits. They need to be unhypnotized from what's keeping them down, what's keeping them stuck, what's keeping them from becoming who they really are and can be. And so it's a subtraction, not an addition, right? Like in fiat culture, we're conditioned to constantly do more, prove more, be more. But when you take away what's false and what's just thinking, and it could even be like a belief that someone has, well, if this person cared about me, they would act like this, or if I was smarter, or if I was better, or if I could do this, because fiat culture also causes us to blame ourselves. And so if we think that it's something wrong with us, that we can't go and do that, or we can't look for a more aligned job, or we can't trust that like a person is coming into our lives. So anything that we can do to return to what's real, and then that would probably be a good way to describe like the work that I do. I love working with Bitcoiners too. It's been fun. And just anyone who's on that edge, like understands that, like sees the truth, but then doesn't really know how to integrate the wisdom and the new understanding in order to let go of the parts of themselves that are still clinging to the safer, older version.
And what's the website where people can find you and find?
Well, the best place, like it, on YouTube, my podcast is on the Coinbeast Media page, but you can also just search Unhypnotized Podcast. On X is a great way to follow along with my writings and stuff, which is Unhypnotized BTC.
Okay.
And I am building a new community through school. So I think that the best way for people to find me through that is just go to heatherkeys.com. And sign up to the email list there.
Beautiful. Well, Heather, thank you so much for coming on Basecamp for a minute. It was so, I feel like we could sit around the campfire and talk for another 4 hours. But I just really appreciate you taking time and sharing your insight and your wisdom. Such a great episode. And so happy you were my guest on episode 300. I think there was, you know, divine alignment with that as well. So thank you so much. Good luck with everything. We'll be tracking Unhypnotized and following you, and would love to direct anybody to work with you that's looking for a breakthrough and for a new chapter in their hero's journey. So thank you so much today, Heather.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I hope you enjoyed episode 300 as much as I enjoyed making it. If you are an avid YouTuber, you can find Heather at Unhypnotized from Coinbeast. And if you're looking for excellent support in any of the number of things that we touched on today, I can think of no better guide than Heather, and you can find her at www.heatherkeys.com. Thank you, Base Campers, and we'll see you around the fire next week. If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors, and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Base Camp for Men.